The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Cubs Pod. My name is Danny Rocket. Just a word about what is Cubs Pod. It's a brand new Cubs podcast brought to you by the Sun Ranto Show. And we're putting it out on the brand new Bleacher Bunch Network, which is a network that was started by a bunch of fired SB Nation podcasters. I'm excited about it. Should be a good network. So I'm excited to work with those guys. This is something I've been wanting to do for a while. It's a daily show where we just kind of tell you what happened in the game, maybe tell a joke or two. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. But, you know, anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes, just let you know what happened and be done with it. I'm releasing this daily to Patreon subscribers. So if you're not a Patreon subscriber, it's a good idea to become one. You get it every day, early, ad-free, no garbage. I'm putting it out in this format right now just so you can kind of hear what we're doing. But I'm going to slap ads all over it. So if you would become a Patreon subscriber, patreon.com/sunranto, S-O-N-R-A-N-T-O, and you'll get this show every single day for free from me and Michael Cotton, whoever else we get to come on and do it. So that's it. Enjoy Cubs Pod. Hope you subscribe. It's been fun. Here's the show.
This is the original Cubes fan, Michael Cotton, bringing you your daily dose of Cubs for the morning of March 6th, 2023. This is Cubs Pod, and it is a Bleacher Bunch production for the Fans First Network. On Sunday, March 5th, the Cubs traveled to Talking Stick, the spring home of the Colorado Rockies, who had to put a sock on the door so their roommates, the Arizona Diamondbacks, didn't walk in on them. It was Smiley versus Gomber in a matchup we've all been waiting for. And unfortunately, Drew Smiley was not up to the task. He struck out Blackman to start the game, but our old pal Chris Bryant did not go so quietly. KB rocked Smiley all the way past the berm beyond the left field fence on the second pitch he saw. Now, before anyone gets too annoyed that KB hit one today, it was your typical KB bases empty bomb in a low leverage situation. Look, the guy can crush baseballs, but it might have helped if Smiley served up a 77-mile-per-hour knuckle curve cookie to the former MVP. Later, with a guy on third and two outs in a tie game, KB made the only type of swing that KB makes. But this time, Smiley wasn't messing around with junk balls. He threw three straight sinkers for a foul, a ball, and a pop-out from Klerch, who never did quite figure out how to adjust to the game to bring a guy in from third. Also, KB walked in the fifth against Brandon Hughes, who was clearly pitching around him. Hughes then got two flyouts and a swinging K to leave Sparkles standing on first base, being uncomfortably aware that he's wearing the ugliest jersey in Major League Baseball. The Bryant homer was just the beginning of a rough day for Smiley. The Rockies had three straight singles for another run before he got out of the first inning. In the second, Smiley gave up a double but was able to work out of the inning with no more issues. But Ryan McMahon launched a ball 425 feet to center field on the ninth pitch of an at-bat where Smiley had gotten the first two pitches for strikes. That was all Rossi needed to see, and the Cubs decided to pull out their bull penis. Smiley's final line on the day was two innings pitched, two home runs, two strikeouts, six total hits, and three earned runs. That's an 11.25 ERA, and that won't get you on the team come April. On the offensive side, Trey Mancini led off the second inning with a single, and then scored from first on a deep double by Colorado native David Bodie. Bodie continues to ball out with a double and a walk. Unfortunately, Bodie Ruth struck out for the first time this spring on at bat number 13. And it dropped his batting average 21 points to only 615. So I guess the Bodie summer of love is over. That was the only run given up by Austin Gomber in three innings of work, and Trey Mancini took full advantage of no Austin Gomber. Mancini went yard on the second pitch from Brent Suter, and the score after four was 3-2. Pierce Johnson, perfect name for the Purple Helmet team, gave up a single and a walk to set up Ian Happ's RBI single that tied the game in the fifth. Little League rules kicked in after the fifth inning, and everyone on the Cubs and Rockies benches got a chance to play, which meant that nothing happened until the bottom of the eighth. Cubs' first-round pick from 2019, Ryan Jensen gave the prospect perverts something to watch by tossing balls all over the place. He gave up two singles and three walks in 0.2 innings of a tie ball game. Rockies took the two-run lead before Cubs replaced Ryan Jensen with Jake Rindel, who got a pop-out to end the inning. With the Cubs down two in the ninth, the good side of the prospect game showed up with a Pete Crow Armstrong single, a Brennan Davis single, and a Darius Hill single to cut the lead to one. Andy Weber hit a 277-foot bomb that came off the bat at 77 miles per hour, and Brennan Davis tied the game from third base on the Weber single. Esteban Quiroz got in on the singles game with a hit to left field, and Darius Hill scored the game-winning run. But there was still a little drama in the bottom of the ninth. Didier Vargas had two outs with a guy on second when he tried to grab a comebacker with his bare hand. The ball deflected away, and everyone was safe on the bases. Luckily, nobody scored. So, with a one-run lead and guys at the corners, the Cubs' pitching staff had to come out and check on their youngster to see if he could even finish the game, which would have been a struggle because he was the last pitcher in the Cubs' bullpen. Luckily, Didier Vargas means iron hand in Sanskrit, and he finished off the game with a strikeout. So what did we learn in this game? Chris Bryant is who we thought he was, and Drew Smyly is still struggling. On the positive side, it's fun to see PCA and Brennan Davis get their second hits of the season to spark a rally and get driven in by guys I might never see again if I don't go to Des Moines this year. But hey, it was a 6-5 win against a baseball team with possibly the worst front office in the history of sports. So we got that going for us. As for today, the great and wonderful Wizard of Wes will get a start versus the Seattle Seamen. Wesneski is the biggest and best story of spring training so far for me. He looked good in his first start against the Mariners, and I'm really happy they have decided to send him out to pitch against the exact same team again, because I'm sure pitching every spring training start against the exact same team is the perfect way to evaluate your talent. The Mariners will be sending out Luis Castillo, who made one start against the Guardians the other day. He pitched two innings, he had two strikeouts, but he also had a two whip. So, we'll see how that goes. Make sure to jump on to the Sun Ranto Ranters Discord channel at 2:10 Central Standard Time, so you can publicly question every decision that Jed Hoyer has ever made in his life. Until then, there's nothing left to say except Spagog! It is March 7th in the 2023rd year of the Gregorian calendar, and this is Cubs Pod, your daily dose of Cubs action. Cubs Pod is a Bleacher Bunch production for the Fans First Network. On Monday, March 6th, the Cubs went to Peoria to face off against the Mariners. Hayden Wisniewski was making his second consecutive start against the Seamen, and he was facing off against Luis Castillo. You may remember Luis from his 5.5 seasons with the Cincinnati Reds. I would say that the Cubs remembered him too, but none of these guys were with the Cubs really. Horner and Wisdom were the only two who would have been with the Cubs when Luis Castillo was pitching for the Reds. Regardless, the Cubs jumped on Castillo early in this game with a single from Horner, a double from Hosmer, and a single from Morel all in the first inning to take a 2-0 lead before the Mariners even got a chance to hit. That's always a good sign in a baseball game. The great and powerful Wes burned through the Mariners' top four on 6 total pitches in the first inning. Ty France smacked a double, but Colton Wong popped out, Cal Raleigh popped out, and Wisniewski took down J.P. Crawford on 3 straight strikes. Wisniewski threw 10 pitches in the second inning. He got another 3-pitch strikeout and then a pop out before giving up a single and a walk, but got out of the inning with a ground out to second baseman Christopher Morel. Because, hey, when your guy has a great arm like Morel does, let's waste it by putting him at second base where it's not needed. The Cubs held their 3-run lead until the third when Wisniewski got a little wild. Not as a pitcher, though. He had a throwing error on a Ty France single, which I missed because I was working for the man. I only tell you this because I'm not exactly sure what happened in the middle of the third inning. Wisniewski had a throwing error that moved France to second, and then Barnhart threw the ball away trying to pick off France from second base. It sounds like the kids were getting a little too happy throwing the ball around the field, and it cost them. The Wes struck out J.P. Crawford on 3 straight again, but Cal Raleigh hit a double that scored France from second, making the score 2-1. That was it for Wisniewski. He faced 13 batters, he got 4 strikeouts, gave up 1 unearned run while only throwing 23 pitches. So all in all, I'd say it was a good outing, and it's only going to make it that much more frustrating when he gets sent to Des Moines to start the season. Brennan Davis hit a double in the top of the 7th inning, and Edwin Rios drove him in with a triple to make the score 3-1 Cubs. Tyler Duffy gave up a solo shot to Cade Marlowe in the bottom of the 7th to cut the lead to 1 run, but the youngsters put up a 3 spot in the 9th to put this game away for good. I'd call them handsome youngsters, but it's hard to tell when 3 of the 4 players are just silhouettes on MLB.com. Anyway, the one guy we do know and we do like was Kevin Alcantara, who doubled to lead off the inning. Then, Yohendrik Penango walked and Bradley, I'm not sure if that's Bradley or Brad Lee, Beasley hit a double to drive in Alcantara. Penango scored on a wild pitch, and then Beasley ran home on a Jake Slaughter ground out. Yes, Slaughter. I don't know. Ben Brown pitched the final 2 innings of the game and looked pretty good against the Mariner minor leaguers. I already told you about Wisniewski's nice outing, but the other notables in this game were Eric Hosmer, who hit the ball twice on the ground. One was a double, and one was a double play. He did get it in the air, but the second baseman was able to pocket the ball. David Bote continues his slide back to Des Moines with a strikeout and a ground out. His batting average has dropped 103 points in 2 days to 533. Brennan Davis went 1-for-2 with a double and 2 strikeouts. Pete Crow Armstrong continues to struggle with another over. Morel went 1-for-3, although he did reach base twice. One of those was on an error. For the bullpen, Boxberger had 1 strikeout and 1 walk, but nothing else. And Rowan Wick bounced back with 2 strikeouts in a clean inning. The Cubs are currently 7-4 and in third place in the Cactus League, which is never a good sign. Today, the Cubs travel to Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona to face, surprise, the Texas Rangers. Adrian Sampson, who got touched up fairly bad in his only game this spring, will attempt to look a little bit better this time. The Rangers are sending Cole Winn to the mound, who has only pitched 1 inning this spring and struck out the side. The game will start at 2:05 Central Standard Time. And if you are a Patreon supporter, you can join us in the Shank List on the Discord, where we plan to mess with Texas all afternoon. That's my time. So keep on rounding those bases. And until tomorrow, Spagol!
All over Chicagoland, there are thirsty, frazzled, overworked Cubs podcasters who are struggling to survive one more baseball season in the dog-eat-dog world of unpaid content creation. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can make a difference. Become a super ranter at patreon.com/sunranto, where your support ensures that poor, sad, pathetic, ugly, loser Cubs podcasters can pay for tickets and beer, and in turn, line the pockets of the baseball oligarch Ricketts family. Just $1 a month can buy a scorecard. $5 a month can pay for guitar strings to write a Cubs song. And $10 a month almost buys one beer at Wrigley Field. Cubs content creators are the lowest pieces of pond scum garbage that slither over the face of this planet. But super ranters help them get drunk and screw off at baseball games. What do you get out of it? The Sun Ranto Show delivered to your podcatcher without stupid advertisements like the one you're seeing and hearing right now. Plus, at other Super Ranter levels, you can get Cubs music, access to private Sun Ranto pages, the Ranter calendar, and special thanks and Ranter recognition in our live broadcasts, plus eligibility for monthly prizes. What does Sun Ranto get out of it? Your money. For tickets and beer. Go to patreon.com/sunranto. That's patreon.com/sunranto. And become a Super Ranter today.
This is Cubs Pod, your daily dose of digestible Cubs information. This is a Bleacher Bunch production for the Fans First Network. The Texas Rangers got surprised at Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona yesterday. They lost 6-9 against the Cubs, and it was definitely nice. Adrian Sampson was facing off against Cole Winn, and Cole definitely should have had the win after Sampson gave up 6 runs in 3 innings on 3 homers. If you want to look on the bright side, and nobody has ever accused me of doing that, other than the homers, Sampson looked almost mediocre. The game started on the right foot when Eddie Rivers went yard with 2 outs in the inning. And even though the Rangers dropped a 4 spot in their half of the first, the handsome youngsters were not ready to pack it in. Mike Tauchman took a walk, Christopher Morel singled, and then Sergio Alcantara drove in the Cubs' second run, cutting the lead to 2. The Rangers were unable to do anything against Sampson in the second. So he had 1 good inning out of 3, and like Meatloaf never said, 1 out of 3 is bad. Sampson struggled again in the third inning, and Carl Jung's illegitimate love child rocked him for a 2-run homer that ended Sampson's start. Adbert Alzolay came in for an inning and a third and was able to rack up 2 strikeouts and no hits, but he did walk a guy. In the fourth inning, the Cubs tacked on another run with a walk from Morel, a walk from Bodie, and a double from Sergio Alcantara, who seems to love RBIs even though the stat heads hate them. Alcantara was able to steal third, and after a Madrigal walk, he scored on a fielder's choice off a ball put in play by Bellinger. At the end of the inning, the score was 6-5. The Cubs tied the game in the sixth after Jake Slaughter hit a single and Pete Crow Armstrong reached on an error, which allowed Slaughter to score. It was 6-6 in the sixth after Slaughter came home, and I'm not saying that's a bad omen, but at least one fan renounced his religion and started a death metal band called Satan and the Slaughter. Luis Torrens launched a long ball in the seventh to put the Cubs up 7-6. Then he hit another one in the ninth inning too. He's currently hitting .600 with 3 hits and 5 at-bats, 2 of which were homers. His OPS is .2467, but the Cubs don't seem to like catchers from Venezuela who hit well, so don't expect to see him in Chicago anytime soon. Luis Vasquez singled to drive in Nelson Maldonado for the Cubs' final run of the game to officially make it nice. On the defensive side, I would be remiss to not mention Pete Crow Armstrong running down a ball in right center field at the warning track. He is probably the fastest guy on the team, and he had to run a long way at top speed to reach that ball. The StatCast will tell you that the ball had a 99% chance of being a hit, and PCA will tell you that warning track power gets you warning track outs. So what did we learn today? Sampson is not performing the way he did last year, but the minor leagues seem to have good bullpen arms. On the offense, the Cubs have a catcher from Venezuela that can hit better than the other two combined, but that doesn't mean anything. Also, the handsome youngsters driving this team don't seem to be the handsome youngsters that drive prospect ratings. Spring training doesn't really mean anything, but it seems like every time something happens, I have to hit the World Wide Web to find out who the guy is. Today, the Cubs will take on Team Poutine when Team Canada of the World Baseball Classic visits Sloan Park at 2:05 Central Standard Time. Justin Steele will face off against Mitch Bratt, a single A 19-year-old who pitched for the Down East Wood Ducks of the Carolina League last year. Steele has pitched 2 innings this spring and currently has nothing to show for it. No hits, no walks, no runs, no strikeouts, nothing. Make sure to jump in on the Discord to talk about all the stuff that Steele is not doing. Well, that's all for me. I am out of here and I will not be back for a bit because I'm off to travel the world for a couple of weeks. I will be getting my vacation time out of the way before the season starts like a true pro. So until next time, keep rounding those bases and spugog!
Hello and welcome to Cubs Pod, a Bleacher Bunch production on the Fans First Network. It's your daily dose of digestible Cubs content. I'm your host, Danny Rocket, and I'm here to tell you what's happening right now in the world of the Chicago Cubs on March 9th, 2023. Well, yesterday the Cubs played Team Canada, the World Baseball Classic team, in a game that I thought I was going to be able to watch, but alas, the powers that be in Blackoutlandia did not allow this. Not even the illegal streams had the game. Marquee had the game. I don't have Marquee. Some people that have Marquee were able to watch it. Other people that were, I guess, out of the blackout area, which seemed to even be Madison, Wisconsin, could not watch the game. So unfortunately, I didn't get to watch this game, the game I'm about to recap for you. So I'll just kind of tell you what happened. It didn't get off to a great start, I'll say that much. The Cubs, they were behind for much of this game, really until about the seventh inning when they finally came back and pulled ahead. But Justin Steele, not a great start on this one. He actually got burned by a Cub, Jared Young, who had two RBIs and a hit in this game off a steal. And that's what got the scoring started. He doubled on a fly ball that went past Cody Bellinger in center field. Freddie Freeman and Tyler O'Neill both scored. They had walked earlier in the inning. So not a great start for Justin Steele. He probably would have liked that to have gone differently. But according to Ryan Dempster, the double came on a pitch right after a strike was called a ball. So didn't have to be like this. The umpires could see. And then the Cubs, they did come back and tie this sucker up with Tucker Barnhart's first home run of the spring. It might be his only home run of the spring, to be honest. I don't think Tucker Barnhart's going to hit a lot of home runs for the Cubs, but it did score Edwin Rios, and it did tie up the game. The bad news is he hit it off a guy named Noah Skiro, who no one's ever heard of, except for his mom, Mrs. Skiro. And then Justin Steele gave up a home run to a guy named Jacob Robson, who also nobody's ever heard of. Cubs fought back, though, and Cody Bellinger singled on a line drive, and Trey Mancini scored. This was also off Noah Skiro. You know what? While I'm doing this, I'm going to look up Noah Skiro because, he did play, but he has a baseball reference page. He has made it as high as Triple A, and it looks like he is a member of the Philadelphia Phillies organization. And he's a starter. So maybe he's okay. I've never heard of him. But that doesn't mean a lot because I haven't heard of a lot of guys in the Philadelphia Phillies organization. So anyway, that's who the Cubs got all their offense at as they kept the game close. Then off of Keegan Thompson, also not a great outing for him. He gave up a couple of runs as well. And then the Canada pulled ahead. Then Cody Bellinger with his first home run of the season. And, both of those homers coming out of the left side, which is really what the Cubs were lacking. So, I don't know, Cody Bellinger comes out and is the old Cody Bellinger and hits me a bunch of dongs. I mean, I think you got yourself a hell of a trade piece at the trade deadline is all I'm saying. Because he's on a one-year deal, so it's really what we kind of got to hope for at this point. Well, then the game kind of got out of hand. All the minor leaguers came in, and then even lesser guys from Team Canada started going out there. For example, I've got to just tell you who pitched for Canada, just so you don't get too excited about the Cubs winning this game 11-7. Because here's what they threw out there: Skiro, Brash, Brigden, C. Taylor, Lowen, Rutgers. There's no vowel at the end of his name. It's C-K-Y-J at the end, unless it's a typo. And then finally, at the end of the game, you get John Axford, who actually did play in the major leagues for the Brewers. You might remember him as that guy. So anyway, the game got out of hand a little bit towards the end, but I like to see the home runs out of the left side. I like Bellinger finally getting on the board with all that stuff. The Cubs, the young guys were hitting at the end of it. Dom Nunez tripled. Bryce Ball was on base. The young kids are hitting. We've got a good minor league program going on. How the Cubs are winning the games, because it's like, even if we're not winning at the beginning of the game, their minor leaguers versus our minor leaguers, the Cubs are winning. So this game was tight. It's not like the Canadians got nobody on their team. They got Freddie Freeman. They got O'Neill from the Cardinals, whose pants are also way too tight. His dad is a total roid head, if you ever look at a picture of it. Go Google it right now. They got our guy, Jared Young. Oh, and Owen Casey was in this game. I forgot to mention him. 0-for-4, though, unfortunately, with he left a couple on base, so that redhead isn't doing quite as well as P. Crow Armstrong, who's just, actually, everybody's talking about that catch that he made. Beautiful catch in center field. We haven't had a guy who does stuff like that in a while. It is sad, though, that really what that means is that the Cubs haven't had a very good center fielder in a while. They put Ian Happ out there. You know, I mean, he was a second baseman before. Anyhow, I'm very sad I did not get to watch this game. As far as the pitching went for the Cubs, it was, as I said, Steele and Thompson. They both gave up runs. Steele gave up three. Thompson gave up one on two hits in his inning in two-thirds. Then it looked a little bit better. You had Rucker and Leiter. Brendan Little went out there, had a strikeout in his inning. Manrod went out there, gave up a couple hits. So did Ben Leeper, who gave up three earned runs, including a home run. That's the guy that kind of looks like a young Rick Sutcliffe. He's also... We got a lot of gingers in the minors right now. Owen Casey, PCA, Ben Leeper, and I'm probably missing a bunch of guys. But, you know, that's three right off the bat, you know. Redheads are rare. It's a recessive gene, I should know. I'm kind of a redhead. So, anyway, not a great game for the Cubs. They did give up quite a few runs against Team Canada, nine hits. The Cubs managed to score 11. So hopefully I get to watch the game tomorrow. It was pretty disappointing. And I was thinking to myself, you know, they're always trying to fix baseball because there's something wrong with it, don't you know? And it's sad. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, maybe they could have played a little faster. So we ended up with the pitch clock because, you know, I guess we don't want to get any bang for our buck time-wise. I mean, I won't go into it right now. My point is this, that I couldn't find the game today. USA versus Canada. You're trying to get people into the game of baseball. World Baseball Classic's coming up, and it's the one game you can't see. I'm a subscriber to MLB.tv. There's no blackouts in spring training. I guess this isn't considered a spring training game, but they certainly sell it like a spring training game. The Cubs sell it like a spring training game. If you are a season ticket holder, I think you get this game. I saw Team Japan a couple years ago. I don't believe I had to buy an extra ticket for that. I don't remember, though. So, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me why they wouldn't show us this game. Other teams' games against other countries and their warm-up games for the WBC, they were on TV, the Cubs not. It was just on marquee. It was exclusive to them, but only in a certain area. And it made me think about, because the way I caught this game was by watching the feed of it, you know, on my iPad out of the corner of my eye. Just something's happened. I look over and, oh, look, a single, a double, some score, a lead change, whatever was happening. I would see it that way. And it reminded me when I was a kid, and that's how I kept score. My dad was a scorekeeper, but I would physically write down in a paper what happened in the game, like, you know, Sean Dunstan singled in Sandberg or something like that. I'd write that down. And as I was faking sick from school, that's my very specific memory of keeping scores, like pretending I was sick and just so I could watch the game and writing down what happened in the game. But so I was watching it like that, and I was like, oh, I watched that game on a garbage picked TV that I used to have to get up and hit on the side every now and again so that the picture would come in. And that was how I caught the game back then, through an antenna. I believe the TV had really bad color if it was not black and white. And that's how I saw the game. And I would write the things down from there. And it dawned on me that, like, I had an easier time watching this game on a garbage pick TV back in the 80s than I do now. Like, I mean, WBC didn't exist, but, like, WGN might have shown this game. You know, they used to not show but one spring training game a year. But, you know, my point being, they just should be showing these games. Like, it's ridiculous they don't. They're crying that nobody's interested in baseball, and then they don't let you actually consume their product. Just run some ads alongside of it. You got the gambling thing going on. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Just show us the game. We'll be interested in it. We had a whole chat room devoted to it on the Patreon Discord. So, barely anybody could watch the game. Some people would like to hear it on the radio. Hint, hint. Why don't you play the damn game on the radio? We could not consume a Major League Baseball game against an entire country. That is sad to me. So anyway, rant over. Tomorrow, Hunter Green at Sloan Park from the Reds versus Jameson Taillon. Hunter Green, his spring hasn't gone great so far. He's got a 10.38 ERA. So, the guy throws really hard, but that doesn't seem to matter. He has not had a lot of success in the major league level. He's been very streaky. So I'm sure the Reds are hoping he could be something because otherwise they're going to be even worse than we think, which is terrible. But not for the Cubs because we got to rack up wins against somebody. Jameson Taillon, he's going out there. He has had a pretty decent spring. He's got a 3.86 ERA. And we're just looking for him to be a hoss. You know, the dude's got to be a hoss. He's got to go out there every fifth day, eat a bunch of innings, and make this damn Cubs team good, which I think they could be. They did kick the crap out of Canada, and I believe they've won 8 games in a row. Now, I know this is not a good sign. I know it is that we're supposed to be like the 2016 team, get your losses out of the way in spring training. But that's what's going on right now. Let's just enjoy it. Let's take the hope where it lasts. I mean, this is also reminding me of being a child and seeing the Cubs win a bunch in spring training and be like, oh my God, we might be good. We might be a good baseball team. And then the April would start and it wasn't the truth. But honestly, right now, and I don't know if this counts even in this against our standings. We're up there, you know, Dodgers are up there 6-2. I don't know. It means nothing. We do have a positive run differential finally, though. So hopefully we can watch the game. I enjoyed coming to you with this Cubs pod. Check us out tomorrow. And Spagawk. Hello and welcome to Cubs Pod, a Bleacher Bunch production on the Fans First Network. It's your daily dose of digestible Cubs content. I'm your host, Danny Rocket, and I'm here to tell you what's happening right now in the world of the Chicago Cubs on March 10th, 2023. Well, the Cubs were losing 5-0 until they miraculously staged a comeback and put up 6 runs in the 6th inning. It was all on the long ball. Trey Mancini with a 2-run homer to open up the scoring. Later on in that inning, Patrick Wisdom, he hit a 3-run homer. And then Morel hit a solo shot, and that put the Cubs ahead for good. The other scoring in this game, Luis Torrens, who was, I had never heard of, 2 home runs just the other day, and then he doubled in Tauchman in the 7th to add on another run. And then Sergio Alcantara is trying to make this team, knocked him in. Pitching-wise, well, we had to come from behind for a reason, and it's because Jameson Taillon wasn't great. He gave up 2 home runs himself, although he did have 3 strikeouts in his 3.2 innings pitched. 4 hits overall, all the runs were earned. And then the bullpen held it pretty close. Danis Correa came in for an out of this, only got an out, gave up a hit and a run. And then it was Fulmer, Wick, Hughes, Duffy, and then closed down by Merriweather, who also gave up a run. It was unearned, though, and he had 2 strikeouts, dialing it up to 98 on the gun at the end of this game. He's probably going to make this team because I looked it up just this morning, and he's out of options. So, yeah, Cubs are going to keep him. Some of the other guys that probably would be competing for that spot, they still have options. So just by nature of that, I think Merriweather will make the team. But he looked good in this game. There was Cubs had a couple errors, a little bit of a sloppy day for them in defensively, but they won. So all's well that ends well. Let's see, what else? Ryan Dempster and what's his name? Cohen, Alex Cohen. They called this game, and yeah, I found them to be a great team. Demp is such an easy, personable guy to listen to. Although he did say, he was talking about the fruits of Nick Madrigal's labor paying off, and he said fruit, But it just rolled off his tongue like it's the way he always says fruit. He calls it fruit. And I'm like, so I tweeted at him. And I'm like, is that like a Canadian thing, saying fruit? And Demp's like, no, I'm just a Dr. Evil fan. And I was like, well, that makes some sense. 10,586 paid to be there. Not nearly that amount in the stands. For a Thursday, which is kind of a party day. We're getting towards spring break. 69 degrees out there, so the weather's nice. You'd think there'd be more people there, but it's expensive. Airline flights are expensive. Hotels are expensive. Everything's expensive right now. So people are looking at the final price and being like, you know what? I'm going to skip this year. And you could tell by who's not in the stands. A lot of eaten tickets for this one. There were not 10,000 there. Tell you that much. So the next game, we're actually going to have a game watch in the Patreon Discord for this one. So show on up at 2 p.m. Central Time on Friday, March 10th. That's today when you're listening to this. It's actually March 9th where I'm recording right now in the past. But yeah, we got the White Sox and the Cubs. So it's Lucas Giolito. He's only pitched two innings this spring. He's got a 9 ERA to show for it. And then you got Drew Smyly, who has pitched four innings and hasn't gone well either. 11.25 on the ERA, 2.75 whip. So I'm sure it's fine, and he's just working on something because that's what they always say. So yeah, join us tomorrow for the game watch in the Discord. We're going to have a lot of fun over there. I'm having a lot of fun on Discord. So if you haven't joined it yet and you're listening to these podcasts and stuff, come on over there and join it. It's part of a Patreon perk. So is this podcast. So so we'll see you over there. It's like Facebook, but better. Smaller community. Better community. So Spagog, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Hope everything's good in your land, and go Cubbies!
This is a Cubs fan buying tickets from the Cubs. And this is a Cubs fan buying tickets through the StubHub link at sunranto.com/StubHub, knowing that 4% of their ticket purchase will go to the Sun Ranto show instead of into the pockets of rich corporate douchebags. Buy all your tickets through sunranto.com/StubHub. Don't worry, it won't cost you a single penny extra. It don't stink to click our link. This is an Amazon shopper buying things from Amazon. And this is an Amazon shopper buying things through the links at sunranto.com/Amazon, knowing that up to 10% of their purchase will go to the Sun Ranto show instead of that cocksucker Jeff Bezos, who will just use the money to go to space. Plus, if you buy all your Amazon items through sunranto.com/Amazon, you could win a monthly prize. sunranto.com/StubHub and sunranto.com/Amazon. Two great ways to support the Sun Ranto show while sticking it to evil corporations who suck. And it won't cost you a single penny. It don't stink to click our link.
Hello and welcome to Cubs Pod, a Bleacher Bunch production on the Fans First Network. It's your daily dose of digestible Cubs content. I'm your host, Danny Rocket, and I'm here to tell you what's happening right now in the world of the Chicago Cubs on March 11th, 2023. Well, after nine times of winning baseball games, the Cubs could not get past the Chicago White Sox. They dropped their first game this month. They've won every game since March 1st. Nine games in a row, they beat Seattle, Oakland, San Diego, Angels, Rockies, Mariners, Rangers, Canada, the Reds, but they could not beat the White Sox. They fell 4-3 despite out-hitting the White Sox 11-10, and the White Sox had three errors, but we still lost the game. Unfortunately, we were not to see a 10-game winning streak this spring as we take the spring championship trophy back to Chicago. Actually, it's the freaking Royals. They're on fire. They keep winning. So what happened in this game? Well, a fake rally fizzled in the bottom of the ninth when Bradley Beasley bounced into a double play to end it. But before that, Sergio Alcantara and Eric Hosmer each had two hits and an RBI. The other RBI came in the ninth in that fake rally from Jonathan Perlaza, who scored Dom Nunez. Other offense, Bodhi came in and got yet another hit in his only plate appearance. He's now batting 500 on the spring. Bodhi also made a barehanded play and saved a run. Another run got saved with a beautiful relay from Happ on the ball in the gap. Hey, that rhymed. Threw to McKinstry to Barnhart. That saved another run. So it could have been worse. Cubs could have lost 6-3 instead of 4-3. They made it close. But yeah, overall, this game, it was quick. 2 hours and 15 minutes. I know everybody with their busy lives are really excited about that. But, you know, you've got 15,000 people that paid to go see this ball game. And it was basically shorter than the Sunrento show. So if people are willing to pay for that kind of thing, that's fine. But, you know, day at the ballpark, give me 3 hour games. Like, I'm fine with that. 2:45 and you're like, wow, this game went fast. 2:15, it's a fast ass game. All right, what else happened? Oh, well, I wanted to bring this up, and I'm going to bring this up on the regular show on Monday. But Cody Bellinger, man, I know he had a home run the other day, and everybody's excited. Now, we'll remember that home run, but he's batting 176, 498 OPS. He had 2 strikeouts in this game. The other freaking losers right now, I just don't get the Cubs' fascination with Zach McKinstry. Dodgers castaway. They've got a million guys, including David Bodie, who's just having an amazing spring and has a lot more major league experience under his belt. It's proven major league experience. Without that injury, like, he's a decent serviceable utility man who could play around the infield. I mean, he doesn't have the versatility of Christopher Morel, but he's got just as much power. And he's got a pretty decent glove, you know? Like, I don't get it. And instead, they're putting Nicky All-Strikes over there, who's not having a bad spring either. But either way, it's like, I don't get their fascination with McKinstry here. He's now batting 118. And then you got Tucker Barnhart. Just in case, like, you missed pitchers batting, you got Tucker Barnhart, who's batting .071 on the spring. Not great. It's all about run prevention. So take that K-O-Pectate and prevent the runs. Cubopectate, that's what they should call it. I could see some sponsorship and some anti-diarrheal medicine for the Chicago Cubs as they prevent the runs. Pitching-wise, well, Ryan Borucki ended up taking the loss in this one. I looked him up. You know, we haven't seen much of him at all. He had 96 career games with Toronto. And here's what's interesting about this guy. He is a lefty. 6.23 ERA on the spring. Small sample size. He got the loss in this one. He gave up 2 runs, including a home run to Brian Ramos, the White Sox third baseman. But here's what's interesting about him. 6.23 ERA, but a 1.15 whip. And in 4.1 spring innings thus far, 7 strikeouts. It's a lot. The other runs for the White Sox, Zavala, he homered off Killian, one of 2 hits Killian gave up. He also had 0 strikeouts in 2 innings pitched. Alzolay also gave up a run on 2 hits in the 8th inning, which was the difference in the game. This game was started by Smiley, who gave up 4 hits and 4 innings pitched, had 2 strikeouts, brought his ERA down to 5.63 by giving up no runs. So there was some traffic on the base paths, but no harm, no foul. And the Cubs, I mean, they need him to do well. I mean, Smiley's in this rotation, and it hasn't been a great spring for him so far, but, you know, he's a consummate professional. You're going to get over 100 innings out of the guy. And he's just in there warming up. Let's just say he's still working on things, shall we? And let's keep it positive. Also, who pitched in this game? I mentioned everybody except for Boxberger, who nobody had a clean inning. He gave up a hit as well. But he has not given up a run this spring yet at all. And that is in a total of 4 innings where he's got 3 strikeouts. So we're starting to see some of these counting stats come through. I mean, it's still early. I mean, we're halfway through spring training pretty much, But, and I don't know, the stats, spring stats obviously don't count, but they do. They do. I mean, it is a measure of how they did. So, anyhow, Cubs lost, and now they face the Dodgers out in Camelback. There's a road game. Terrible stadium shared with the White Sox. The entire, if it's hot outside, you don't want to be there. It is just brutal. There's no shade in this place. They could have had shade, but they put the stadium going the wrong direction. People blame the owner's, the ex-owner's wife for wanting to do that so she could see the mountains, but I've also been told that that is a lie. Believe what you want. This game will feature Wesnasty, Hayden Wesnasty, who has yet to give up a run this spring, versus Noah Syndergaard, who hasn't either. Now, Wesnasty also 7 strikeouts in his 4.2 innings, so it's been nasty, and he's got a whip of 1.5, so you'd like to see that come down. Noah Syndergaard in 5 innings this spring only has 4 strikeouts, but a whip of 0.2. Yes, I read that right, 0.2. So this game starts at 2 p.m. I will be in finishing up my Bleacher Bum Band rehearsal at that time. We're getting ready for opening day. We're just about 2.5 weeks away from our first concert with our new drummer, Tony Terrific. Excited to have him on board. He's awesome. It's going to be great. And in the meantime, we'll be back tomorrow with another Cubs pod. I'll tell you what happened in this game against the Dodgers. And just looking ahead a little bit, you got Milwaukee on Sunday, and then an off day. But not for the Sun Ranto show, because we've got Lyle coming back, and we'll get all the news from the WBC from Infield Fly Girl, who has been watching every game with a diligence. I'm just finishing watching Japan beat. They just beat the Czech Republic 10-2. No surprise there. But anyway, I've been enjoying watching these games. It's been a lot of fun. And we're going to do another game watch, too. I want to just remind everybody, next week on March 17th, there are 2 games that day. We'll see which one we feel like watching. Maybe we'll watch both at the same time. But Dodgers and the White Sox. Next St. Paddy's Day, grab a green beer, and we're going to do another game watch. So that's it for Cubs Pod for March 3rd, 2023. Go Cubs, or as we say on the Sun Ranto Show, Spook Hog! Hello and welcome to Cubs Pod, a Bleacher Bunch production on the Fans First Network. It's your daily dose of digestible Cubs content. I'm your host, Danny Rocket, and I'm here to tell you what's happening right now in the world of the Chicago Cubs. Spring marches on. The Cubs went out to Camelback Ranch to play the Dodgers, the worst baseball stadium in spring, as far as I could tell. I've never been to the Florida ones, but in Arizona, it's terrible. You can't get in, can't get out. And when you get there, there's a bunch of White Sox crap everywhere. You know, nobody wants to see that. But the Dodgers, who are ostensibly a good team, lost to the Cubs yesterday by a score of 5-2. And the Cubs held the Dodgers to only 4 hits. The Cubs weren't, they didn't have a lot of hits. They had 7, but luckily, 4 of them were home runs. And started in the 5th. Kind of shockingly, with the bat, Yan Gomes kind of showing up this spring. That'd be something if he could just, like, replace Wilson's bat. I'm not holding my breath for that, but he did hit a home run off of Noah Syndergaard, otherwise known as Thor. Then they took him out of the game, and in comes Alex Vesia, who is a hell of a pitcher. 2.15 ERA last year, 54 innings pitched, 0.3 homers per 9, 13 Ks per 9, and he comes up and he gives homers to Tachman and Morel. And the Cubs are then up 3-0. Gomes hit a sacrifice fly in the 6th inning, scoring Mancini, who was 1-for-2 with a walk. And then Jake Slaughter homered off of Jordan Leisure, who is a sometime double-A starter. Jake Slaughter, besides having pretty much the most amazing name in baseball, he's 26 years old. Cubs got him in the 36th round and then in 2016 of the amateur draft, and then he went to school. Then they got him again in the 18th round. So they like this guy. And I'm looking up his numbers here, and I'm like, okay. He went from having, in 2021, for example, between Tennessee and South Bend, he had 3 home runs. And then last year, between South Bend and Tennessee, he had 23 home runs. So that's a big difference. So I don't know what Jake Slaughter did, pee in the cup, Jake, but it's impressive. He hit one yesterday, and I was like, man, Slaughter is like, it's just a tailor-made obvious shirt. We all know this. Now, the bad of this game, and bad in general, Dansby Swanson, 0 for 3 with 2 Ks. He's batting .071 on the spring. We all know a guy, when he first comes to the Cubs, is going to suck a little bit, if not a lot. First year is just, I don't know, it just never works out, and everybody turns on them really quickly. But yeah, it was not, he hasn't been good. And hopefully he turns that around. I can't think that he's working on anything. Is he just rusty? Is he nervous around his new friends? I don't know what's going on, but it's not going well. And then I don't know why we're even bothering with Zach McKinstry. Like, I feel like last year we learned that he can't hit, and he's got decent speed. Fine, but you got to be on base to steal, and he's not. Batting 100, 0 for 3 yesterday with 3 strikeouts. I don't know why he's in the conversation still. I don't get it. So pitching-wise, now this is also a part of the real story. Besides the Cubs, who didn't hit home runs at the beginning of spring, beginning to hit home runs, I do realize it was cold early in spring training. That seemed to be a lot of it. Didn't seem to hurt the other teams. Hurt the Cubs, though. But it was much warmer yesterday in the mid-70s. And, we were hitting them. But the real story in this one, and the thing I'm most excited about, is Hayden Wisniewski, who is awesome. He gave up 0 hits, 0 walks, 4 innings pitched, 4 strikeouts, and the strikeouts made the batters look incredibly dumb. They were doing the swords. I know Pitching Ninja likes to call them swords, these half swings and check swing outs, and it was great. And he K'd the side in the fourth inning, in his last inning of work, and it wasn't crappy hitters either. It was Miguel Rojas, it was Max Muncy, it was J.D. Martinez. That's who he struck out the side on. So, and he had another strikeout too. I forget who it was. And it wasn't all great. Brendan Little came up, and minor leaguer reliever. So we'll see what we get out of him. But 3 hits and a run. But he also had 3 strikeouts in his one inning of work. Cam Sanders also looked impressive on the back end. He's the son of Scott Sanders, they were saying on the broadcast. And I don't remember Scott Sanders. I remember Scott Sanderson, which for some reason I can remember a guy from the 80s, but not the 90s. So I don't know. Maybe he just didn't make an impression on me. But 1.1 innings pitched, dialing it up in the upper 90s, got the wipeout slider, and he had also 3 strikeouts in 1.1 innings pitched. Pretty impressive. I know the Cubs drafted a lot of pitching a few years back. We're starting to see that come to fruition, which is great because Greg Huss, I don't think they call it Growing Cubs Podcast anymore. I got to remember what they call it, but I don't right now, but it doesn't matter. Greg Huss twittered out, look at the AAA bullpen next year in Iowa. And it was pretty freaking impressive. Like, all these names that I'm talking about right now, Cam Sanders is going to be there. So this guy's up here. Now, granted, they're facing some of the Dodgers minor leaguers at the end of this game. But, it looks right. It looks impressive. High 90s slider. Yeah, you're going to, or the slider isn't, but he can hit the high 90s. He's got a wipeout slider. He's got his out pitch. And when you're a reliever, it's really all you're looking for. That's why they were doing the spike ball. And, you know, now everybody's, you know, with the sticky stuff, they were spinning it all out there. Now they got the sweeper pitch going. Like, they're always looking for a new way to get the batter to chase. But anyway, the triple A bullpen looks awesome, which means that maybe next year the Cubs bullpen will be awesome. And I can say things like, our bullpen is awesome, instead of our bullpen is terrible. This game only took 2 hours and 21 minutes, so all of those of you with other things to do and don't like that last 40 minutes of dawdle, you're happy. For me, it's a little too fast. You know, I think that goal was to knock off 15, 20 minutes. They knocked off 45, so, you know, it's different. It's double, if not triple, the time. So we'll see how it plays out in the major leagues. Definitely something to be watching all year long. And the next game is against the Milwaukee Brewers. Is this one at Sloan? Yeah, it is. Brewers visit Sloan with a pitcher who's junk. Literally, his name is Jansen Junk. And his pitching has been junk as well. On the spring, he's got a 3.50 whip in his two innings pitched and an 18 ERA. Last year, not a lot of experience. He had a cup of coffee with the Angels before. Last year with the Brewers, 8.1 innings pitched, 6.48 ERA, 1.56 whip. So, yeah, junk. I wouldn't want it on the team. It's junk. Now, unfortunately for the Cubs, Adrian Sampson, also junk. 4.1 innings pitched, a 2.31 whip, a 20.77 earned run average. He has given up 6 home runs in 4.1 innings pitched this spring. Let me say that again. 6 home runs in 4.1 innings pitched this year. I looked it up, gave up 10 all last year in 104.1 innings pitched. So I guess get him out of the way, Adrian. I'd like to say he's working on something, but he's in his early 30s. Like, he's better out. I mean, what do you still have to work on? The sweeper? Maybe. Maybe he's working on a sweeper. But yeah, it hasn't been good for Adrian. And if you see a start like Wesneski's yesterday and you pair it up with what Adrian Sampson's been doing, and then you're thinking about a fifth starter, I mean, the Cubs, by their bench and end of the rotation decisions, I think will let us know if they believe they are contenders this year, or if they would like to just stash guys and wait until they can get it going on and Ohtani's on the team. Yeah, right. And now being Sunday, I thought we'd take a look around the league, see what's going on all over the major leagues, and also with the World Baseball Classic. I don't totally understand, like, all the tiebreaker stuff that's about to happen in the World Baseball Classic, but it looks like we're about to get total chaos as Italy right now looks like they're going to beat the Netherlands. And so that means all the teams will be 2-2 against each other. And I think that actually, then it's a run differential situation and it's defense. So I'm going to look on Twitter and see who's going to move forward in that league. I know that I did see that, like, Taiwan, who I know Infield Fly Girl is a huge fan of, it looks like they will be out despite surprising everybody and winning two of these games. Pool B, that was Pool A that they're playing in Taiwan. And then Pool B in Tokyo, Japan 4-0, they took it. China lost all their games. China. And Australia looks really good. Those criminals can play some cricket, let me tell you. And then USA won last night. There's less games in the Pool C and Pool D that are being played in the United States in Phoenix and Miami, respectively. But Colombia upset Mexico, which I guess is an upset. USA beat Great Britain, which is definitely not an upset. And Puerto Rico, they beat Nicaragua, which you kind of expect. But Venezuela and Dominican Republic, two powerhouses in Pool D there. I mean, to have Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Dominican Republic, and Israel, too, who is not a too shabby of a team. They've had a nice showing last time as well. A lot of major leaguers on that team. So how is this possible that the United States gets to play Canada, Great Britain, Colombia, who plays soccer mostly, and Mexico, who plays soccer mostly, although there are quite a few Mexican major leaguers on this team, but no real stars. And like, yeah, USA's just got a cakewalk. This is ridiculous. Anyway, I was kind of surprised to see that Venezuela did beat the Dominican Republic quite handily. But Venezuela also quite a few baseball players come out of the major leagues. Not as many as Dominican Republic, but quite a few. So that's what's going on in World Baseball Classic. I'm really enjoying it. A lot of games today. I'm less busy today, so I'm excited to watch some of these all day long, really. I'm super excited. And then let's talk about the major leagues. Well, we'll start with the Grapefruit League. And hate to say it, but St. Louis is 8-5. They're in second place behind Boston, who's 9-2. They've won the most games. Then you get Toronto and Houston, and then it gets to a bunch of 500 teams. The worst teams in the Grapefruit League: Miami Marlins at 3-9, Pittsburgh Pirates at 4-9, 5-8 Baltimore Orioles, and then, you know, we get towards 500 teams. So it's kind of who you'd expect down there. As far as the Cactus League here, Kansas City still only lost two games. So, Kansas City, they're not going to be good this year. There's no way, even though they're in the AL Central, and you got a young Cleveland team that kind of showed up early last year. I was talking to a White Sox fan last night. He's confident about his team. And then, Kansas City's not going to do shit except for right now. 13-2 in spring. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They've won 5 straight. I mean, Cubs are also 9-1 in their last 10. They've won only 1 straight. They had their streak broken by the White Sox. And then you get the Dodgers, the Angels, and then you're at 500, 7-6 White Sox, and it bunches up from there. The worst teams in the Cactus League, and I'll just read off everybody from worst to less worse, and it's San Francisco, Arizona, Milwaukee, Oakland, and Cleveland. And then you get some winning percentages above 400. But, yeah, that's what we got going on. It's been fun. This is the second consecutive week of Cubs Pods. And had fun doing them. Had fun watching these spring games with you over on the Discord. If you're not a Patreon supporter, you should be. We provide a lot of value. It's only a dollar. There's only 18 slots left, by the way, for a dollar. And then it's off. No more dollar slot. No more way to join Patreon for a dollar after 18 more people. So get in on it if you haven't yet. And there's your Cubs pod. Cubs are off on Monday. But I'll be coming to you with a Sun Ranto show and a Cubs pod tomorrow. No rest for the wicked, only for the Cubs. Let's hope they rest up. I have no plans on it. So, Spagog, go Cubs, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.